Aloha and welcome to Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic. I'm your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak, transmitting to you from the waterfall capital of the world, Hamilton, Ontario. And, you know, we cannot go on with the show unless we thank Patrick Bernard for his beautiful rendition of Radha Govinda from his album Chakra Celebration that we just heard. You can find out more about his music at patrickbernard.com. And we also have today Pita Panos, our travel guru, joining us, where on each broadcast, Pita will be showcasing a different fabulous destination for soul travel, sacred sites, vortexes, and exploring magical places worldwide. So she's from spiritualquestjourneys.com. And we're really happy to have you join us here today for this yummy awakening magic cosmic hour, enjoying the nectar of life as we actualize heaven on earth, expanding your vastness while we experience the collective consciousness and embrace all the amazing synchronicities, all the while we dare you to be the masterpiece that you were created to be. Now, this exotic hour is brought to you by spiritualquestjourneys.com. When you invest in spiritual travel, you always come back richer. And melissasallo.com for a healthier, happier you. And myself, charlottesivak.com. Now, you can find out more about all the services that I offer, including soul readings, medical intuition, psychic readings, holographic journeys, Akashic records, all kinds of stuff. So just visit charlottesivak.com and please drop me an email to set up a time for a session. And we just want to let you know that our next journey coming up is going to be to Egypt, which is in November, from November 8th to the 19th. And we're also going to be filming a portion of it for a television series. So that should be really exciting. So we're really looking forward to that trip. There's going to be a lot of incredible, unexpected events that are going to happen. I mean, we all hear about Egypt, where we hear the stuff that goes on about Egypt on in the news. And then, of course, there's the stuff that goes on with your soul. So this should be a pretty incredible trip. So hopefully you'll join us for that journey. And today's fantastic wild card lineup for Goddess Alchemy, you know, I call this show a Stargate show because we plan it moment to moment. We never know what's going to happen, and that's how I like it. It definitely will spark your creativity, infusing all of you with infinite possibilities with the magical awakening joy of a divine child. So let's all dare and lick and risk living in divine orgasmic ecstasy. Now, today, it's really great to be back on, especially, I mean, everyone's just about had it with this Mercury retrograde. Thank God it's over. And but the really incredible news that we have now coming through is that Jupiter is moving into Leo, and it's been in Cancer for over a year, which has given a wet resonance to the energy. And the beauty of it is that it's helped many of us delve deep into our emotional issues, our wounds, and the things that we have suppressed for so long. And it's really helped to transform us into completely different, higher evolved individuals, awakening our essence, activating the cell structure down to the subatomic particles. So anytime when there's an emotional charge, or especially if we move into astrologically onto the water signs, that's always a time where we're going to be doing a great amount of cleansing. So now that Jupiter, which is one of the biggest planets, a very happy planet that brings a lot of luck, a lot of joy, it's moving into Leo, which is a bit of a show-off sign. It's a bit of a Hollywood sign. So there's going to be some interesting things that are going to unfold coming the fall. So moving into the end of 2014, we're going to be finding things to be, could be possibly a bit more dramatic, but very fired up, more charged up. People are really going to start coming out of their shells, and especially after transmuting themselves so much over the last year and coming out with a new outlook on life. This is going to be a really incredible fall, so just be prepared, and let's just, like we said, dare you to be the masterpiece we created you to be. Now, today's guest is again, we are so blessed. We have such amazing people that come on this show, and I'm so happy to bring back one of my favorites. He's just a fantastic author. I've read almost every one of his books, and, I mean, they're just amazing. You learn so much from them. And he's got a new book out, so we're so happy to bring him back. And I so apologize if I say the name wrong, but I just want to tell you a little bit about him before we introduce him and bring him on. And his name is Padma Shami Aon, and he's a dynamic evolutionary catalyst. He is teacher of the soul and lover of God. All of his books reveal different aspects of the full beauty, power, and potential of human consciousness, drawn from the many sacred traditions that he has been initiated into. These books include The Power of Shakti, Womb Wisdom, The Christ Blueprint, The Nine Eyes of Light, which are ascension keys from Egypt. And that's actually the book that I found him when that book showed up, and Dimensions of Love. He has been teaching worldwide for the last 15 years, bringing change and timeless wisdom to many thousands of people. Padma has also performed sacred music worldwide, producing 3 albums and appearing on BBC Radio 1 and magazines such as Variety, Kindred Spirit, XLR, AR, Straight No Chaser, and Christ Conscious among them. He's also a multimedia producer, creating original content for the Moscow Youth Olympics, and his DVD project, One, playing in theaters and festivals in the UK, USA, and New Zealand. His television work also includes discovering the first ever mummified Tibetan Lama for Mysteries of the Tibetan Mummy, Discovery Channel 2001, and narrating Peabody Award winner Stephen Osland's Sundance and Cannes documentary Sounds of the Soul in 2005. This was at about the Fez Festivals of the World Sacred Music. Now, his new book that's coming out, called Lucifer's Lullaby, expresses the fruit of his travels into the many worlds and his decades of long exploration in human consciousness and evolution. You can find out more about him by visiting him at padmaaeon.com. So we can put the handle up onto the website so you can check it out. And it's just a real pleasure to welcome you back, Padma. You've been so busy. My God, what do you do with your spare time?
I'm permanently on holiday, so there's no such thing as spare time. And, you know, also because, you know, there's no matrix schedule, every moment is pretty delightful and when you're doing exactly what you're here to do and really enjoying that. So for me, there is no spare time because there is no matrix of time, you know, to get involved into. So whatever is necessary happens.
So you've been a busy man since we spoke to you for the last time. My goodness. Yeah. I really like this new book that you, pardon me?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Lucifer's Lullaby is something that I've been cooking up over the last 15 years or so. And it kind of first started in 1999 when I first met the Archangel Lucifer. And of course, this came after I met Christ, Yeshua, Mary Magdalene, and other beings like that, other members of my family. But then meeting Archangel Lucifer triggered a whole series of events that helped to crumble, you know, my ideas or concepts of duality. And so this book, which is called Lucifer's Lullaby, is very much a story, you know, it's quite a slick and fast-paced and contemporary story, full of spiritual wisdom, but set in the 21st century with modern characters. One of them being Archangel Lucifer, who has fallen back down to earth and has suddenly become human. He has totally forgotten who he is, which of course is, you know, the human story. We have, you know, many of us have forgotten who we are. And the same thing happens to Lucifer. So the whole novel is about his journey as he starts to remember who he is, which of course is not Satan, because Lucifer is totally different to Satan. They're two totally different characters and energies. So his story as it unfolds, as he meets again with Christ, as he meets again with Merlin, as he meets again with his partner Lilith, and as he meets all these fabulous and fantastical characters throughout all the world's different sacred traditions, and they each serve to give him a piece of the cosmic puzzle of who he is, of what he is here to do, to be the light bearer rather than the repository of all things shadowy and evil. He actually is a bringer of light to humanity. And if even today, if you go to Holland or Belgium or even France and you pick up a pack of matches, they're called Lucifers.
Oh, so
Lucifer actually means the catalyst. You know, what does a match do? You strike it and boom, there's fire. What is fire? Fire is transformation. It's alchemy, you know, goddess alchemy. It's the alchemy that, you know, transforms us, you know, takes us from a piece of coal into a diamond, you know. So Lucifer is really, his whole story has been so twisted and perverted throughout history by, you know, let's say the patriarchy or the Christian church or those beings who, you know, play their roles to help slow down evolution or coat human evolution, you know, to provide the resistance, let's say, which was a necessary thing up till 2012, but now it's no longer necessary for us to evolve. So hence this book can come out now because it's revealing a lot of profound truths which have been buried about Lucifer and his true role, about us, humanity, and our true role, our true story rather than this made-up story that we've been led to believe over the last 5,000 years or whatever it is. And then also, you know, us coming into the light of this new era that we are helping to create. So Lucifer is known as a light bearer, so he lights the way for that. And throughout almost every tradition, so you look at the Mayan tradition, you look at the Teutonic or the Norse tradition, you look at the Gnostic Christian tradition, and you look at the Greek tradition, and you look at the Egyptian tradition, they all, and the Sumerian, the Babylonian, they all have exactly the same myth about Lucifer, told with slightly different names, of this great being who fell from a great height and then brought with him the fire of the gods, like Prometheus. He stole the fire of the gods, brought it to humanity, and then the gods, who are these suspect figures, who are these gods, you know, these gods, and persecute, judge, and try and destroy the light bearer who has taken the fire from them and has given it to humanity. So that is the story of Lucifer, and it is no wonder why he has been so judged and slandered and misrepresented as evil throughout history, because he holds a key, a massive key, to human evolution. And this is exactly the reason why these so-called gods, which is a whole other story, but which I'm sure many people are aware of, these false gods who have, you know, set up many different teachings and cults throughout history on this planet, they are the beings who have seeded this story about Lucifer being evil and they being the good guys. And of course, all these good guys want is your obedience and your worship of them, you know. Whereas Lucifer is a complete opposite. His whole message is about sovereignty, free will, individuality, having your own direct relationship to God, standing up for the truth, speaking the truth at all costs, and, you know, holding on to that no matter what happens or what is projected against you. So he stands up for the individual, whereas these gods, that these false gods, are actually trying to create and have very successfully created this herd or sheep mentality amongst the masses of the planet, you know, stopping people from thinking and questioning and finding their own path, finding their own sovereign soul, and finding their own direct connection to God, which is what Lucifer stands for, but which is why he has been shoved under the carpet of history. For doing exactly what his job description was, that was given to him by God. So this whole book, Lucifer's Lullaby, is a novel that follows Lucifer in 21st century Earth and how he starts to remember and dive into who he really is beyond all these illusions and false memories.
What a fascinating backdrop to do it in, and especially to bring forth such truths. It's just astounding. I really enjoyed the book. Thank you so much for sending it. And it was such a... I'm just so glad that this stuff is finally coming out, because like you said, it's all about us being able to see through the illusion of the glamour, the Maya, and the whole, like, scapegoating, so that They're trying to keep you from your power. So what a beautiful way to write it, yet, you know, really trigger people's memories. And I'm sure, like, on their conscious level, it also really makes them think about things and just go, wow, you know, there really has to be another way. So amazing. Thank you so much for writing it.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, it's very much about stimulating that, you know, within us on the deepest possible level, you know, that self-inquiry, but also, you know, being radical, like totally overturning some of the ideas or beliefs or emotional patterns, let's say, about who we think we are, or thought we were, or could be, or should be, and totally reverting that, like 360 degrees, like spinning it on its head and seeing everything from a totally different perspective. And of course, in that journey, you know, so much, you shed so much on that journey, and you gain, you know, so much clarity about who you really are, because you shed all this baggage, all these layers as you make the journey. And so, you know, Lucifer's Lullaby, the novel, is very much like that. It's a whole journey that starts with Lucifer in a pit of despair, which I'm sure everyone can relate to at some point in their life. They've been on a dark night of the soul, or they've had really terrible things happen in their life. And from that point, you know, the only way is up. So you begin to realize, you know, you start to go deeper into who you really are, because you start to realize all the illusions that you're not. So Lucifer himself has fallen from this great height of being this mighty archangel, the archangel who could create, who, when he walks, worlds are formed, and when he talks, you know, lightning bolts come out of him. It's an extremely powerful being of flaming, blazing fire and this electrical light and this golden light, this pure power of creation and this brilliant light that's so brilliant that it even blinds himself. And he's fallen from this height, from this glory of being the first archangel, to being completely possessed, down in the dumps, totally forgotten who he is. So he's gone from one extreme to the other. And then as a book unfolds, he starts to remember who he is. He starts to remember his meetings with Christ in Palestine 2,000 years ago. He starts to remember his partner. He starts to remember what it's like to be human. And he starts to taste the joy, the simple joy of being a human being. And that remembrance, just of being a human being, simple, good-hearted, enjoying the simple things of life, in that remembrance, his divine self starts to be triggered and awaken from embracing his humanity in this very simple and juicy and delicious and childlike way. You know, he almost, Lucifer has to become a child in order to step up into his full divinity, you know, becomes a divine child in one sense. But then from that divine child, he becomes, you know, he remembers he is an archangel. And of course, we are all in potential angels. All human beings are. We are seeded with that. So Archangel Lucifer shows that and describes that and explains that as the book unfolds, about how we are all are angels. And by standing in that and remembering that, we can actually take on the greatest powers of darkness, because as the book unfolds, Lucifer actually encounters Satan. And there's whole dazzling, very profound dialogue that happens between him and Satan. Well, it's more of a dance, really, between Lucifer and Satan, as they, you know, debate and try to bring each other over to their side. So Satan is trying to seduce Lucifer into, you know, the so-called darkness, let's say, or amnesia. And Lucifer is trying to help Satan remember, you know, the pure soul that he is, the light that is within Satan, because light is within the most darkest of places, no matter what we think or may believe in the moment. So Lucifer is trying to tease that, you know, out of Satan and help him remember who he is. And that's a really fascinating, I've been told by many people, that's a really fascinating, profound, and very moving dialogue that they have between them, which is, you know, what the whole book is about in one sense, this dance of duality and how we can move out of duality through our emotions, not just by intellectually thinking about it or meditating on it, but using the full power of our emotions and our feelings, of course, love being the most profound way of being, which is also a feeling. So through that avenue, which is a Christ-conscious path and a goddess path, through that avenue, really coming into our union with the beloved, our union with God, and at the same time embracing everything in that love, which of course is what love does.
Amazing. And, you know, I really love that there's such alchemy in it, because it's incredible too, like how the mass consciousness, the collective consciousness has been really igniting into embracing this part of itself and realizing that it's just untapped power, and that it, or it's unexpressed power, all the suppression and all the emotional wounds that we hold in. So to have it written as a story, you know, is so amazing, because it really triggers people to be able to also start looking not only at themselves, but looking at the other works that are out there that also help with embracing the shadow. And I think like your other book, The Christ Blueprint, I really love that too, how you had the light side and the dark side for each archetype. I mean, it was brilliant. So it's a really great, like you said, stimulating part. So what do you plan to do from here? Are you going to take it as do some like workshops or types of teachings across the world with it?
Well, my feeling is that it'd be great to have it as a film, first of all, a kind of Matrix on steroids type film, you know, the Matrix.
Yeah, you gotta get Kowalski brothers direct it, and that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it'd be like take the Matrix thing to the whole next level. But no, you know, I think the whole point of Lucifer's Lullaby and the message, I feel, especially after 2012, is that, you know, all the means are here on Earth now for people to reach their union with self or with God or whatever they want to be at one with. So I feel like everything is here. There's not really, you know, for that spiritual connection, maybe in technology and society and things like that, new things need to be developed. But for the individual who wants to, you know, reach the height of their evolution, everything is here. So for me, I've stopped teaching because I really deeply feel that the individual with a capital I is really what is manifesting post-2012. And everyone is sovereign soul. Everyone is made in the image of God, and everyone can now, I feel, if they really desire it, very quickly reach their awakening, reach their union with the beloved.
Fantastic.
So for me, I don't feel to teach anything, because I fully trust in free will, first of all, and I fully know that to be an absolute divine law and truth. And I also, in one sense, really trust humanity. In one sense, that they will choose their right path and they will find their right destiny and they will reach that. Whereas before 2012, when I was teaching a lot all around the world, I didn't feel that. I didn't believe that. I didn't trust that. But after 2012, and with all the things that have happened and are happening even right now on Earth, I fully trust that and believe that, and I feel that, you know, everyone has that potential to fully plug in to the divine and find the perfect guidance for themselves in every moment. And I feel that is very accessible for people. And of course, there's still a need for guides and, to help people up to that point. But then once people have their direct connection to their soul, to self, to reality, to God, then there is no real need for an external teacher, because the teaching is happening directly in their own meditation and in their own engagement with life, and also in their own intimate relationships and friendships and things like that. So I feel like, God is manifesting in all these different ways. It's just people need to sit up and take notice. And this is a part of, the individuality and the sovereignty that Lucifer's message is all about. Lucifer being the brother of Christ, let's say. So it's all, it's all complementing each other. And I feel like Lucifer, his message and his, what he has incarnated or has come here to do, is manifesting in everyone who has that direct connection and sovereignty to their own self, to their own soul. So yeah, so that's how I feel, and that's what I feel the current wave of evolution on Earth is very much about. And every day I see that, more and more people, that they're so plugged in and getting more and more plugged in. Of course, the Earth and all the sacred sites of the Earth are, or some of the sacred, new sacred sites anyway, are very plugged into these new grids and are very important for grounding people into themselves as well. So, anyone can go to, a sacred site like Glastonbury, where I live, for example, or, Rosslyn Chapel, or, Avalon, or wherever it is in the world, Peru or Egypt or India or whatever, and they can directly plug in for themselves. So there's so many avenues for people today, if they have a bit of desire, to grow, and they have a dedication to that. It can be so easy and fast for people if they're also humble about it as well,
Well,
so I'm not teaching anything, but I'd love for it to be a film. It would be fantastic as a film. It would be mind-blowing as a film, Lucifer's Lullaby. It'd be a lot of fun as well.
Well, we got to think of a good director for you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Aaron Moss would be good, or, the Kowski brothers, or Chris Nolan. He would be great as well,
Oh, my God, I can imagine Chris Nolan.
He would be great, wouldn't he?
For that thing.
Yeah, The Dark Knight. He would be awesome.
So what is coming up for you next? What are you allowing to co-create and to bring into your existence and your reality?
Well, at the moment I'm quite heavily into production of a virtual reality interface, I guess, using the Oculus VR headset, which is these huge goggles that you put on that bring you into a virtual reality world. And at the moment, I'm creating a very profound project called Inner Worlds, which is basically taking people into a sacred space using this virtual reality technology. And I'm working with some highly talented 3D designers and technologists in London and in various other places in the world to create this. And I can't really say much more about it at the moment for various legal reasons, but it's very interesting. And when it comes out, which should be relatively soon, I think it will really blow people's minds to be taken, into a sacred site, let's say, like Lincoln Cathedral or Rosslyn Chapel or, Chartres Cathedral, and fully experience it sitting in their own bedroom and, fully experiencing the sound of it, the visual of it in a multidimensional yet scientific way. So, yeah, so that's what I'm working on. It's called Inner Worlds, and it should be, fingers crossed, it should be a very big thing next summer, when all the pieces have fallen into place. So I'm really excited about that, because now the technology is here to create, a truly immersive, sacred environment in your own living room And, you know, so people sitting in New York can be in Avalon, in Glastonbury, and literally hearing and feeling and seeing and immersed in the multidimensional reality of Glastonbury or Stonehenge or the Great Pyramids of Giza or Rennes-le-Château in the south of France or wherever it is. So, yes, I'm heavily in production of that at the moment. And that's really exciting. Yeah, it is, Charlotte. It is very exciting. And I feel like it's another tool, you know, for people to, you know, to really accelerate that evolution in a fun way, but in a very profound way as well.
Incredible. I love how now we're using the technology to also, like, well, since technology is also God, really bring forth to the next step in evolution. It's very cool. So I wish you so much luck with that. That sounds very exciting. And can't wait to hear about it when you're ready to get that out into the open.
Yeah,
there's some really incredible, you're really doing some amazing work. And it's you bang out books so fast. Can you tell us the secret of how you do it?
I feel like, there's two things. One is not having a mind. And that really helps because mind, time, space are all very limiting factors. So when I sit down and write, there is no time, there is no mind, so therefore it comes out. And it can come out because there's no obstacle, there's no obstruction to it. You know, the only resistance, obstruction there is ultimately is our own ego. You know, and the things that creates and attracts and reflects into the external world. So that's only us, you know, that's stopping anything from happening on any level, really. And that can be for very good reasons as very, you know, as well as for very silly reasons as well, you know. So, you know, there is no time, but timing is everything, as I always say. So, that's one thing is a mind being out of the way. And when a mind is out of the way, anything is possible and everything
miracles
is possible.
Miracles unfold.
miracles happen every day. They're normal. That's normal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. You've got to expect miracles. Yeah, that's right.
That's normality.
How could I have forgotten? I had a temporary moment of insanity there.
Yeah, right. It happens to all of us every day.
That's when the really good stuff comes.
Yeah, that's right. So yes, really that's normality. Huh? That's normality is the miracle happening. And then when the harmony and miracle, so to speak, I don't even like using that word because it seems extraordinary when in fact it's ordinary, it's normal. Mm-hmm. But I would say that living in harmony and living in harmony with everything then allows there to be no mind. And with no mind, infinite creativity is possible. So hence, you know, I've written 9 books in 6 years. I'm actually two-thirds of the way through another book at the moment. And that's just...
You're a machine.
and it feels like I'm hardly doing anything. That's the thing. I feel like I'm on permanent holiday. Awesome. And I'm just really enjoying life. But all these things just happen to get done along the way, you know. So it's not like it's a focus. It's actually just a part of the wave, you know, a part of the dance. And mm-hmm. I love my life, you know, because I have such a relaxed life and so much fun and so much joy and so much divine resonance with everything and with God. And at the same time, all these things magically happen and get created as an effect of that. You know, it's all an effect of that. It's not a cause of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, that's my secret, really, which is not really a secret. But that's how I live and that's how it happens. So that's how it works for me anyway. And I'm sure other people have, you know, other ways and have to be really focused about things. And I'm sure that's good for them, you know, in where they are in their spiral of evolution. But ultimately, I feel like, you know, if you're not here, so to speak, you know, your mind, ego, resistance is not here, then infinite creativity naturally, abundantly flows. You know, it just happens.
We are talking with Padma Shami Aon and just really exploring into human consciousness and evolution. You can find out more about him at www.padmaaon.com. And, of course, you have to run out and get his newest book called Lucifer's Lullaby. It will blow your socks off. And it's pretty amazing. It'll really help also to ignite your curiosity and a deeper resonance of, you know, the shadow and embracing our some of our hidden sides. So it's just a really fabulous, fabulous book. And I read it. It was amazing. And it really gives you such clarity in so many ways. It's incredible. And for those of you who are listening, tuning into us today, and who have been working on their shadow and have been really delving into some, you'll really appreciate this because it just gives you a whole other side. And I really love how you brought up the point too, Padma, about Satan and about how he is still an aspect of God, and however small the light is, there still is light. And that really needs to get out there because it really is time for us to learn more of these lessons and to embrace it. So again, I really commend you for writing such a thought-provoking book. And I'm sure the stories that you hear from people who have read it are just absolutely mind-blowing. So,
yeah, it's been I really appreciate it, actually. You know, people saying that they're crying as they read it, or they're taken into a multi-dimensional journey, or they feel that the whole book is a transmission, which it is in a way. And I really appreciate it, and it brings a smile to my face, and of course, you know, it gladdens my heart as well, because of course that's, you know, why I've written the book, is to you know, expose this duality first of all, for, you know, the nonsense that it is,
yeah,
and the insanity, you know, that duality is, and, you know, how, you know, we still believe it on some level. But then also, you know, sharing that, you know, all darkness, all so-called evil, is just wounded. It's just woundedness, you know. We've we're emotionally wounded. You know, we're carrying sadness and grief and loneliness and pain and hurt and anger and, you know, all these emotions. And, you know, we just have to feel them and embrace them in order to release them, you know, from our souls, from our bodies and DNA. And so that's basically, it's so simple. You know, life, love, duality is so simple. It comes down to, you know, people have forgotten, Satan has forgotten who he is because of the pain that he's in. And because of that pain, he's created, you know, all these belief systems, all these creations, all these ways of thinking and doing things. And you can apply that to, you know, all the terror and wars and manipulation and secret governments and all this stuff on the planet. You can apply that same thing. All these people who are the person right now who is killing someone or raping someone right now is doing it because they themselves are wounded. They themselves are in pain. They themselves need healing. They need to feel that emotion that when they were 3 years old, they were abandoned by their mother, and they were in real pain because of that. God bless them, you know, I feel compassion for them. And because of that, then, over the years, they have created all these belief systems and ways to avoid feeling that incredible pain, because as human beings, you know, we really don't want to feel our pain. It's the last thing we want to do. We want to feel the joy. We want to feel the happiness. We want to feel the good times. We want to get drunk. We want to get this. We want to get that. We want to get high, we want to dance, you know, which is all wonderful, but we don't want to feel the pain. And, you know, in actually feeling that pain, our joy becomes 10 times bigger, our happiness, our harmony, you know, way of our relationships, our purpose, our jobs, everything goes, you know, into the stratospheric joy and harmony and peace and tranquility and fulfillment. So it's the same with, you know, Satan, it's the same with the shadow. And, you know, that's, you know, an important part of Lucifer's Lullaby, you know, sharing about that and how Satan and Lucifer and Christ, you know, what they feel about these things, which is really interesting, I find. And but then also, you know, the light. Lucifer is the light bearer, so he's bringing the light, which is our joy, which is only comes from us being truly sovereign beings. And that's, you know, one of Lucifer's messages is that you have to take this fire from the gods. You know, you have to take back this power, this light, who you really are, back from whoever it is, you know, the gods or society or your parents or your wounds or your partner or your this or your that. You have to take that back. You have to own who you really are, which is a very humbling process when you do that, because only a humble person can do that. You can't do that from an arrogant place or a prideful place. You have to be vulnerable and humble. But then in that vulnerability, this true strength arises, and that strength leads to us being sovereign. And then when we're sovereign, we are truly co-creators with God. And that's Lucifer's teaching, and that's, you know, how the book unfolds, how he becomes or remembers his sovereign nature, and then how he can create again, how he can co-create with God and fully embody that on earth again, which is, you know, why we're here. We're here to embody the divine on earth. And Lucifer's lullaby shows us some keys of how to do that.
Padma, that sounds unbelievably exciting. This is Peter from Spiritual Quest Journeys. We've lost Charlotte at the moment. But I love what you're saying about your new project. I mean, certainly your new book. But, you know, being such a strong supporter and encourager of the sacred sites around the world, your new project sounds unbelievable. In my view, any way people can interact with them is just so incredibly important. So I'm really excited to hear more about that.
Yeah, it'd be great to talk about that. Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So just in closing, in terms of the Travel Guru Spotlight, tonight we're going to put the spotlight on the wonderful Alchemy and Divine Egyptian Magic journey, which is coming up to Egypt from the 8th to the 19th of November. And in fact, our very own Charlotte Savak is the wonderful journey leader on the trip. Very often, I've noticed, certainly in the last 2 years, when I bring Egypt up, the first question people ask is it safe to go? Now, as you all know, most of the countries have dropped their travel bans, more and more people are gearing up to go back to Egypt. From my side, I was there with a group over 12-12-12, and this was literally at the height of the problems, and we really did not see any evidence whatsoever of any problems. I haven't had any big groups in Egypt since then because so many people have pulled away.
So, Padma, I have an interesting question for you. As we talk about how this is all about the inner journey and, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves as a sovereign self, what about the people that wish to go on a sacred journey or a sacred site or a place in the world where they could, say, for example, connect with, as you were writing with the writings within your book, Lucifer's Lullaby, where would you suggest they go? Or what would be the...
I would say Marie de la Mer in the south of France would be a good place to connect with that energy. And Rennes-le-Château would also be a good place to connect with the Archangel Lucifer energy. And feels like many of the other Christed sites would also be particularly powerful. So some would be in Palestine, which may be harder for people to get to these days. But definitely the ones in the south of France, and that those would be the most accessible, and those would be the most accessible ones for people to access now. So again, Rennes-le-Château and Marie de la Mer, which are both in southern France, and they would be the places to go.
Amazing. Honestly, I never would have thought you would have suggested that. I actually was expecting you to say any of the sacred sites in the world, but the fact that you named those, that is incredible. And so for anyone who's interested in that, and we'd like to bring on our travel guru just to go over just a quick little journey. Can you stay with us while she comes on?
Sure.
Oh, that would be lovely. Again, as we have on each broadcast, we bring in our travel guru, Pita Panos, from Spiritual Quest Journeys, for her to showcase a different fabulous destination. And as our wonderful guest, Padma, here has been telling us about traveling to the south of France for meeting this connection with Lucifer, which is so amazing, let's bring Pita on. Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, Charlotte. Lovely to be here, as always.
Great. So what fabulous destination are you going to be showcasing with us today?
Today's destination is none other than Egypt. We are promoting the Alchemy and Divine Egyptian Magic Journey, which takes place from the 8th to the 19th of November this year. I'm really excited about this particular journey, of course, because it is with you, our dear host, Charlotte Savak.
Oh, yay.
But also because there's definitely a move back to Egypt. Over the last 2 years or so, many tourists have not gone to Egypt because of the perceived political issues there. Although I had a group there over 12-12-12 at the height of the perceived problems, and honestly, you wouldn't have known that there was any issue whatsoever in the country. I definitely want to talk about the security just to reassure people that it's a very, very safe country to visit. Of course, as an international tour operator, if there was any doubt whatsoever, we wouldn't put on a journey there at all. And we do have a team on the ground that are based in Cairo on the Giza Plateau. And in fact, one of the ladies, one of the journey leaders on the tour, Patricia Iwan, is American born. And I work very closely with her and we monitor the situation at all times. And if there is anybody that's really feeling the pull to Egypt, but is a little bit concerned, or more likely their families are concerned, I'm always happy to set up a Skype call with myself and Patricia and just, talk it through. So as I was saying, the last big group I had in Egypt was over 12-12-12. And even though we haven't had any groups to Egypt since then, I've had a lot of people, a lot of individuals and couples that have the draw to Egypt has been so strong that I have organized quite a few individual tailor-made tours to Egypt. And once again, absolutely no problem whatsoever. If anything, they had the best experience because they literally had the incredible sights to themselves. So I am excited. Most of the countries have dropped their travel bans now, and there definitely is a movement back to Egypt, which for me is really exciting because it is such an incredible destination. So back to the November tour, which, as I mentioned, is the 8th to the 19th of November. It's a 12-day tour, and it includes all the highlights you would wish for, including private access to the King's Chamber and between the paws of the Sphinx, which is always a major highlight. And then at Karnak Temple in Luxor, we have special access to the Chapel of Sekhmet, which is exciting as well. So the tour itself starts in Cairo. You literally get met almost off the plane before the entry formalities. So a guide will take you through all of those before moving on to our base in Cairo, which is very close to the Giza Plateau. In fact, you can literally see the pyramids from the terrace there. In the first section of the tour in Cairo is the first visit to the plateau. You visit it again at the end of the tour. Incredible sites like Dasher, where you see the red and the bent pyramids. You, in fact, go into the red pyramid and do some toning there. And also Saqqara for the step pyramid. And one of my most favorite places, the Serapeum, which was recently opened again in 2011. And it's a huge underground complex. So that's very exciting. Of course, no trip to Cairo would be complete without the Egyptian Museum. And so after the initial Cairo aspect, the group flies to Luxor, where we stay on an island kind of just on the outskirts of Luxor on the Nile River. It's a beautiful complex with incredible gardens and really the perfect base to explore the area. So from here, obviously, we travel around Karnak, Luxor Temple, and then farther afield to Dendera and Abydos. And then in Luxor again, the West Bank, including the Valley of the Kings and the Colossi of Menon. And then it's onto the cruise ship in Luxor for 4 nights, where you travel up the Nile and en route to Aswan and stop off at the various temples as you go. And then once we're in Aswan, you visit temples like the Isis Temple, the unfinished obelisk, and the Aswan Dam, and then back to Cairo for the final part of the tour, which is a second visit to the Giza Plateau, and that's when the private access to the King's Chamber and the paws of the Sphinx. So it's an incredibly wonderful itinerary. It's literally all of the highlights, and for somebody that hasn't been to Egypt before, it's the perfect starting point. I have many guests who have done this kind of itinerary, wanting to go back because you know, every time you visit the area, you feel it on such a deeper level. So, you know, people often do this itinerary again and again and again. I think what really enhances this itinerary is the fact that we have 4 incredible journey leaders. So, of course, I mentioned the wonderful Charlotte Savak, who's the journey leader from Spiritual Quest Journeys, and she'll be focusing on the inner journey of the group, facilitating very powerful initiations and activations throughout the journey. And then we have Patricia and Yusuf Iwan from the Kematology School of Ancient Mysticism. Now, this is based on Hakim Iwan's work, who sadly passed in 2008. If you've ever, many people know Hakim, he's really well known, but he's not springing to mind, if you've ever seen a good documentary on Egypt, you certainly would have seen him being interviewed. He was a very greatly loved indigenous wisdom keeper, and it's actually said that the sites themselves transformed him from a humble tour guide into a spiritual leader. And Yusuf and Patricia have continued his work, and it is so wonderful traveling to the sites with them. Many of the key holders and the guards at the sites have had a long history with the Iwan family. And so it certainly does add to the special things that can happen at the sites, let's say. With Patricia and Yusuf, we have Mohammed Ibrahim. He's our resident Egyptologist and also handles all of the travel logistics as you go. So being in the company of these 4 amazing people, hearing all of the different theories, you know, the Egyptology, the Kematology, and then obviously the wisdom that Charlotte brings makes for an incredibly profound, intense, and life-changing experience. So it's very, very exciting. So for those of you that are interested, please go to spiritualquestjourneys.com and also check out the other upcoming journeys. We have a yoga yak and yeti safari to Nepal coming up in November as well, a wonderful journey to Peru and Bolivia from the 23rd of November till the 2nd of December, an incredible journey to South Africa, combining Cape Town and the wilderness areas of South Africa from the 4th to the 11th of December. And then next year, a wide range of wonderful tours, including a February journey with Charlotte and myself back to Sedona. And we'll be launching 2 new journeys to the south of France with Charlotte and myself, as well as Avalon in England. So please go ahead and sign up for our newsletter. It's a complimentary newsletter that comes out once a month, which we'll be able to let you know as the new journeys get added to the site.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to doing that journey. There's so many things that have been happening to prepare for it. So it should be really exciting. So once again, thank you so much, Pita Panos, our spiritual travel guru, who's giving us the snapshots in all these different areas. And we cannot thank you enough, Padma, for joining us. And you've led a few tours to Egypt as well, have you not?
Yeah, I've led quite a few tours to Egypt and to many sacred sites around the world. So yeah, I always really enjoyed Egypt. It was always felt like an old home place.
Oh, fantastic. Is there a spot you would recommend that we go to?
Ooh,
one that would really stand out in your mind? I mean, probably all of them, but...
Well, there's a Saqqara pyramid, but that's usually not open for people. But there's quite a interesting little cavern in the middle of that pyramid. But I don't know if they open it for people. But I've taken a group in there, and that was quite extraordinary. What happened in there, and just outside there's a little temple, and that temple has a sounding chamber in it, and they're both connected. And yeah, so the Egyptians really knew about the technology of sound and the technology of sacred sites, and they were definitely masters of it. So anyone who hasn't been to Egypt should really, you know, grab the opportunity while you can.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's the one I want to go to the most, Saqqara. I'm so drawn to it. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been such a pleasure, and we wish you so much success with Lucifer's Lullaby. Once again, we've had Padma Shami Aeon, and you can check him out at padmaaeon.com. And thank you so much for being with us today. And for all of you who tuned in to listening in, and we wish you all magical days. And, you know, of course, we cannot forget the nights filled with cosmic ecstasy. So many aloha blessings to you.
A harmonic new octave has arrived. So why not join us on Alternative Tuesdays at 2 p.m. PST for Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic with your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio.